Jesus didn't have a problem with people that's in the streets. He had a problem with religious people.
How can I help anybody when I'm not even, when I was not even able to help my own son?
I would never do that. I would never do that. And I became that in a matter of minutes when they took my pain pills away.
And I said, I'm not where I want to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be.
Ugh. This is Faith in Your Recovery. I am Randy Davis. Welcome to the battle. Thank you for joining us today on Faith in Your Recovery. That's the umbrella under which we're operating. But today we start a series called Jailhouse Recovery that takes place in the Jay County. I always get this wrong, the Jay County Security Center. I just know it as the jail. And we have the privilege of Sheriff Newton's blessing on this, the help of his staff. It's been incredible. This is our second go-round. But something else that's important with that, to the best of our knowledge, this is only the second time this has ever happened in the United States in a county jail. We're proud of that. We're going to be interviewing several inmates. We want to hear their story because we believe they hold the answer to a lot of our problems. They've been there. They've done that. They've fought the battle. They've got the scars to prove it. And we appreciate their willingness to join with us. Our first guest today is Don. Don, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I look forward to hearing your story, what you've got to share with us. Why, Don, are you willing to do this interview? Why are you willing to face these questions? Help us out.
Hopefully, we can help somebody else out there.
That's the important thing, and that's why we're here, and I'm sure that's why most of you have agreed to be a part of this program with us. What has your battle with addiction looked like, Dawn?
Jail. My kids were not exactly happy. And here I sit.
How long have you battled addiction?
Since 2019.
Since 2019, so that's like what? We're 5 years kind of thing, yeah? What's been your main drug of choice most of the time?
Methamphetamines. It always kept me busy.
What was it, in your estimation, that got you started down that path of meth or any other drug, whatever may have been your gateway? What was it that caused you to turn that direction?
Well, I was busy with my dad before he passed on. And I was real busy with him. And when he passed on, it just seemed like my whole days were voids. And then I tried meth and I was busy all the time. All the time busy, and my mind didn't revert back to the days when I took care of my dad. So I just was busy on the meth.
That high speed. Speed,
yes.
Everything that goes with it, days on end without sleep.
If we weren't coloring, we were scrubbing blocks with toothbrushes. We were just busy. And it's not a laughing matter. It's really not. So I apologize.
No, we don't take that as a mockery of it.
Right.
But in the worst of moments, there's still a smile somewhere.
Yes.
Okay.
And I've learned that nobody's beyond the law. So, like we think we are doing the drugs. We think, oh, we can do this and get by with it. But no, everybody gets caught up.
Is this your first incarceration?
For methamphetamines, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to ask the tough question. Is it your last?
Yes, it really is my last.
What has it caused you to learn? Or what have you gained from this, what society would quote as a negative experience?
So before I got jailed, I noticed my fingernails were getting gray, and everybody laughs at me about this, but it's true. I had a doctor's appointment to go to the doctor, and there's no way I would have told him, oh, by the way, I'm using meth, So I probably wouldn't have been treated properly, which means I probably would have died in a couple of years, because when your nail beds get gray and not pink anymore, there's something going on. The first thing I noticed was my hair was growing, and my fingernails started growing. About a couple of months in, I noticed that gray in my fingernails was turning pink again. And they're pink. which is a good thing. I feel like if people were more educated rather than throwed into a cell, you know, because if I'd have been better educated as to what I was doing to myself, I'm not so sure I would have used meth like I did.
You know what? You just educated me right there. I didn't know that with fingernails. Yeah. Okay.
I didn't either till I come to jail. Yeah. I mean, really, I had to come to jail to learn that.
To learn the hard way, yeah.
Yes, and I paid attention, though. I paid attention because they tell me I'm a hypochondriac. So I paid attention, and knowing that now, I really was slowly killing myself, and I just really didn't know that before.
The important thing is you said there a couple of times. That's how you learned.
Yes.
And
yes.
As you learn, as you apply that, you've got a shot to become the you that God's created you to be in the future when you're able to put this behind you.
Absolutely.
Start healing. What was your lowest moment in all of this?
Being arrested. Being arrested and knowing that I was not beyond the law.
That had to be a smack in the face, a kick in the tail, and everything else at that moment, and well beyond as far as depression and anxiety.
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, knowing that my fingernails were getting more pink, that probably, because I have 6 kids and like 14 grandkids, and I'm trying to live for them. And I didn't realize I wasn't. I mean, I was, but I was on borrowed time doing the meth, and I didn't even realize that. Like, really, coming to jail was a blessing for me. I mean, and God has paved my way already. He's made sure I'm not going into church alone. I'm into a sober living. If I get to go, I hope I do. I did get accepted, you know, but nothing's in stone yet.
Yep.
But hopefully I get to go to that and show, because I got some kids that could use a set by example type help, and I'm hoping that's what I get to do.
You've still got that chance. It's not too late. You've still got those kids.
Yes.
You've still got this breath, mm-hmm. and hopefully that next one, to where you can, by the experiences you've had, the education you've received,
yes.
through that school of hard knocks, you can turn around and make a difference in their lives and maybe keep them from making the
yes.
decisions you have.
And plus others who think about it. Like, I hope to be on your side of the table one day to be able to educate from my own personal. I wasn't told by anybody what it was doing to my inside of my body. I learned that by my own knowledge. Like, I paid attention to myself.
And usually that's the best teacher, but not always the easiest teacher.
Right. And it did take a few months. It took a couple of months before at first I thought the gray was receding, but I wasn't even sure about it. And then now my fingernails are completely pink. So it took a few months. So it's really a blessing that I've been in jail for as long as I have, to be honest. As much as I hate it, nobody likes jail, but I've learned a few things. And I'm not so sure I would have lived past a couple of more years had.
Do our best to live it, be that good, bad, or ugly. And through your experiences, through all that learning, through all of that knowledge, and it sounds like you've got a steadfastness that you're going to see to it that it's behind you.
Absolutely.
And I hope you find this seat to where you can share your story more often. How often have you shared your story, Dawn? How many times before?
This is just the beginning right now.
This is just the
yes.
beginning. That's what I love about this opportunity
yes.
here at the Jay County Security Center.
And I'm very excited to be able to share, because I hope, my kids are on YouTube all the time. I hope they're watching this. I hope they heard about my nail beds. I hope my hair, my fingernails, my everything. You
well,
know.
They've got to understand before they find out the hard way, just
yes.
as you've described your own life. And as you're saying, this is life. We accept your questions, your comments, anything mm-hmm. else that Dawn may not be sharing. Maybe she can answer, and if she can't, she'll honestly tell you so. So let us know. Type it in there and keep us aware of what's going on. Get a hold of your friends. We're going to have several of these episodes. You're going to be able to binge today. We hope to have 6, 8, 10 more of these just right in a row, the No Break Friday on our podcast, Faith in Your Recovery. Not this Friday, it'll be a few weeks yet, but we'll keep you posted as to that because indeed we want to make that difference. What was the moment, Dawn, that gave you the clue, the moment in your life where you thought, I can beat this. You know, I can put it behind me. I can be a better me.
The moment came to me when, so I've always been a spiritual type person. And I promise when I get out of jail, I'm going to seek out a church. I'm going to go to church to keep my, you know, faith going. But I didn't want to do it alone. And I prayed every night to God, please just, you know, send me somebody. Well, then I called my son, 19 years old. I love them all. But he says, Mom, God is real. Just pray. And I knew at that very moment, I just know there's a better plan for me than to be locked up behind bars. I just have to pursue it. And Lord knows God has made my path. He has got me. I'm into a sober living, provided they allow me to do so. I've got my son who's going to hold my hand with me. So God's made sure I'm not doing it alone. And he's made it so easy for me to proceed in my recovery. So all I have to do is walk that road.
I love the fact that God has an army. We, as a culture, as a society, may look down on somebody who's struggling, but it's often in the struggle that we gain our greatest victories,
yes,
our greatest knowledge. We're encouraged by our own hearts. The comment you made there, I know it's in me to be a different person, to live a better life.
It definitely
to accomplish
is.
More, to become more than me that God's created me to be. That's my goal. I've never had to deal with this kind of a situation, but I've had moments where I wasn't pleased with the me of that moment. It wasn't necessarily worthy of incarceration, but it wasn't my best performance. And I'm not talking about my best basketball game or football game or anything else. It wasn't the best Randy could be in that moment. And I started to strive for that. I found some of those times. And there's no greater feeling on my inside than to have that. What is it that you see as your biggest battle when you get out of here, Dawn? And
honestly, cigarettes. Believe it or not, I feel like that is going to be my biggest drug, because you could call it that.
Absolutely.
That is what, to this very day, that's what I crave the most. I feel like my walk through the sober living, you know, going to church, I feel like that's my easy. I feel like that's going to be easy for me. Before in my life, I probably couldn't sit here and say that. I could tell you, I could say whatever you wanted to hear, but I don't believe before this particular trip to jail, I would have walked that path. It would have been all laid out for me, and I probably still would have jetted the other way.
Yeah.
But this time, I legitimately feel something different. And I wish everybody could feel the difference. I wish I could explain it. Yeah. I wish everybody that come to jail would find their inner peace. You know?
That's what it's about, that inner peace, mm-hmm. and letting it direct you, because we know the world can't give us that inner peace.
No.
It either comes from God or we simply do not have it yet. We haven't discovered it.
I firmly believe that.
Yeah.
Yes.
And as we do, then he can lead us through that next struggle. How long have you been smoking?
Since I was probably 15, I think, smoking cigarettes for a long time. And even after all these months in jail, I'm still struggling with, you know, the nicotine thing. I feel like that's a pretty powerful drug itself.
Absolutely. It may not create, it's more long-term issues,
yes,
and takes us down piece by piece. whereas the drugs, we can OD in a heartbeat, be gone. At least we have a fighting chance with that nicotine and everything else that goes with it. And carry the pride of celebrating one day clean of smoking, 2 days, 30, 60, you know, as it goes. What is your biggest goal in all of this?
To establish a much better trusting relationship with my kids.
Wow.
I need them to trust me like they used to. And I know that I've lost that, and it breaks my heart. Because really, one day led into the next whenever I was messing it up out there, you know. And I just felt like, I'm gonna get to it tomorrow. I'll get to it tomorrow. Tomorrow never came until I was legitimately jerked up by the nape of my neck and put into jail. So,
what have you thought of any disciplines that can guide you to that kind of restoring of relationship? Do you have a strategy is what I'm asking?
Yes, I'm going to hit this sober. Like, I'm not even going to go anywhere that I knew before. I want to go straight to sober living so that I'm not tempted. I have to try to keep myself from temptation, which I believe I can overcome that, you know. But I don't even want to tempt myself because that still would be hard. You know, I'm not trying to take the hard road to recovery if I don't have to. I'm hoping this is the hardest of my road right here in jail. I'm hoping. But I'm not saying I'm not going to have struggles because I know I will, but I'm prepared. I feel like I'm prepared for it.
That's the key. It's not going to blindside you when you're prepared.
Yes.
It's not going to be easy. You know that.
Right.
The draw, the addiction we have to anything, whether it's legal or illegal, moral or immoral, whatever, we've got to be prepared by the day, by the moment. I'm a diabetic, and I've paid that price with some eye conditions and vision conditions. And there's times I just want to pick up that jelly-filled roll just one time. And I have the same attitude so many in heavier addiction have. I can do just one. Well, usually not. It's like the old potato chip commercial, but you can't eat just one. Yeah. Well, I'm sure if I did one jelly-filled roll next week, it's okay.
One time I quit smoking on the outs, and I thought I could smoke one cigarette, and I did. And I smoked them back to back and was a regular smoker like I'd never missed a beat. So I'm kind of taking that with me in the back of my mind.
You've got to.
Because that's an example. I mean, even if it was cigarettes, it's a good example for all things, I feel like. So I'm kind of holding that in the back of my mind with this.
Relapse happens if I grab a Reese cup or a Snicker. I'm going downhill. I know I am.
Yeah, because you didn't die on that one. You'll be all right on the next
exactly.
one.
Exactly. We all can rationalize those things that are hurting us by our own choice and own decision.
Yes, not trying to compromise.
I like the idea. I'm basically hearing you say you want to get away from the people, places, and things of your past.
Yes, I don't feel like I'll get all the way away from all of them.
Sure.
But I'm hoping my sober living, if I get into that, I'm hoping that opens new doors that I will rather take than as opposed to the others. So, and that's all it can do for me is open better doors for me. And then one day I'll look back on this and I'll be like, how did I ever get there? I know I will. And one of these days I'm going to have that victory.
That's going to be an awesome moment.
Yes.
And as long as you keep that kind of heart, that kind of battle cry within your spirit, you know God's going to do all he can do to help. But I've said it so many times, it's probably getting boring to some people, but I always believe that God will give us what we pray for, like if, you know, we're praying for a farm or something.
God has given me everything I've prayed for since I've been in jail.
Yeah, but
I'm so serious about
then
that.
Then we've got to work it.
Yes.
He's never going to drive the tractor on that farm, and he's not going to smack your hand or break your wrist if you grab for something.
Well,
that
he made sure an application got put in my face for this sober living, and I filled it out, and I got accepted. So, yeah, you're exactly right.
Awesome.
I drove the tractor, but it's
by his doing. He provided the tractor just like he provided the way for you. May I ask where the sober living is?
It's in Muncie.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think it's the Lighthouse in Muncie.
Okay.
Because it's the only place I applied to in Muncie. But I've never been to a sober living. I don't know what to expect. But I'm gung-ho for it.
Well,
because it can only be better. It's only better.
Yeah, I can't give you an agenda or list of what is expected, but I've never heard anything less than it being beneficial when
sobriety.
You work it.
Yes.
Once again, they give you the path, you work out the path, but then you're the one who's got to do the work.
Yes, I'm extremely grateful for that. I truly am extremely grateful, and I plan on walking and doing that. Like, I'm going to be the model sober person, I feel like. Not that there's not others out there.
Sure.
But I hope in my path, I don't hope, I know in my path, I'm going to make it.
Well, as you know, Candy Sapp from our office comes in here and does MRT training, does a class on Thursdays for anybody and everybody in recovery. We have ways to help out, and I'll speak if Candy hasn't, that we will do anything financially within our limits to be able to help you get into that.
I appreciate that.
And just know a better life bringing us hope. That's why we come here.
I go to all of them, every one of them. I don't miss a one. Not just to get out of the block, but I legitimately, because I don't know what kind of message is going to come to me that day, and I need to be open for it and ready.
Yeah.
So I go to every one of them.
You know, our attitude is we recognize and realize some are coming just to get out of the block. But you know what?
Unfortunately.
That gives us a chance with them to lift them up to where it becomes a habit instead of just a better chance than what they had that moment.
And
so
I wish everybody could grab onto that. I really, really do. And like I said, I've been to jail a few times before. But I've always said the same things as I say now, but I feel different this time. It's a whole different experience.
Well, you know that better than I do. I certainly didn't know you 20 years ago,
right.
10, 5, 3,
well,
whatever.
Let's just say I always went right back to the same old.
And you mentioned more than once you've come to recognize that is not. If you go back to the same old, you're going to end up in the same old.
Yes, yes. Or even worse.
Yeah.
Either way, though, it takes me from my kids and my grandkids, and it makes them worry. And I'm not saying everybody ain't got good kids, but I got pretty good kids who worry about their mother, and I don't want to put that on them anymore. They have enough worries just making it through life.
Yes,
you know?
Yes. And to rebuild those relationships.
Yes, that's very important to me, yes.
What is the advice you'd give to anybody who has maybe fought the battles you've fought, Dawn? Just share with any listener we have that has maybe followed
your
path.
I'm going to say what my son said to me. There is a God, just pray. Pray from the bottom of your heart and mean it, and because there is a God. There truly is.
And that's what the scriptures say. Obviously, there is a God, but by praying from the bottom of our hearts
and meaning it,
being honest with Him,
that's
the right steps in getting there.
And it's hard to be honest. It really is hard to actually say our faults out loud. But once you say it once, it gets a lot easier. Just pray about it. Just pray about it and know that you mean, because you want good health. You don't want those who love you to worry about you. And that's the best way to do it. I have learned that firsthand this particular time. At 52 years old, this is the first time that I've really actually felt it.
Well, hooray for you. 52 is better than 62. Okay.
Fair enough.
To find it out then. Yeah, right. You've got 10 years on that person. Okay. And I'm going to guess your family will be like God in the sense it's not our past that he thinks about, worries right. about, or reminds us about.
Right.
It's possibilities of the future. And as they see the changes in you and the possibilities for you, they're going to be excited and delighted and
yes.
ready to walk that path with you and be there for you.
And that's what I cannot wait for. I cannot wait for that to happen.
That's awesome. Don, I know when you sat down here, we were having a few technical difficulties getting started. You had time to build up some nerves
yeah.
and wonder about some things. Has it been any more painful than you thought it'd be?
No, it was not painful at all. It really wasn't. I appreciate you.
Well, you are more than welcome. We appreciate your honesty, your transparency, your willingness to share. Is there anything you want to add before we close down here?
Just pray.
That's two yep. pretty easy words to remember. Folks,
yeah.
thanks. This was the first in our series here of Jailhouse Recovery, our second time here in the jail, but we're just hoping that you'll stick around, get a cup of coffee. We'll have a second one here in just a moment. Step out, step back in, join us, binge with us all day long. Thank you. God bless. As always, we like to remind you to stay in the battle.
Stay in the battle.